today we are continuing on in a series called Teach Us to Pray, in which we're looking at various portions of Scripture that are specifically, they're either prayers that are recorded or it's a recording of a person praying. And today we are going to look at the Gospel of John chapter 17 and a specific portion of Scripture that reminds me of burritos. So that's the theme for the day is food. So you're going to love it. So it's John chapter 17. As we get into that, I just want to remind you that this year we are committed to praying for our city. And so we have these cards that are available back in the back of the room, as well as the prayer wall. It just says, pray for Phoenix. And on the back side, there's some space where you can put names of people that God brings to mind or needs in our community that God brings to mind. And what we're inviting ourselves to do, and for everyone to participate, is to write those names or those needs down on those Pray for Phoenix cards, and then just pin it to the wall as a reminder to pray. So every time you're here and you're walking out, you see the cards, just a reminder to pray for those needs, a reminder to pray for those names. And then also at the display, the walls in the back, also there are some magnets or stickers that you can take home and put on wherever it is helpful for you, just to remind ourselves to, again, pray for Phoenix. So we'd love for you to do that. Also, we send out weekly prayer prompts to remind us to pray. You can find more information in your handout on the Pray for Phoenix initiative. Now, the Gospel of John, chapter 17, records a specific portion of Scripture that sometimes, this is kind of super nerdy, but it's sometimes referred to as the high priestly prayer. It's this idea of Jesus praying specifically, in John chapter 17, what we're going to look at, is praying specifically for us. Did you know that Jesus prayed for you? You do now. So let me try it again. Did you know Jesus prayed for you? Yes, you did, because I just told you, and so now you know. So Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for everyone who would follow him from his point in history in the future. He talks about praying for people who would come to follow him through the witness of those who were initially following him. So he prays for us, and there's something specific that he prays for us about in this high priestly prayer, and I'm going to read it. This is available in your handouts if you'd like to follow along. If you have a Bible, I'd invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. If you're not sure where John is, that's totally fine. In the front of your Bible, there's usually a table of contents, and we're in the New Testament today. And if you're joining us online and you don't have a Bible with you, you can open up a new browser and go to Bible.com and the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and we're using the Christian Standard Version of the Bible today, but whatever version you have is great, even though the wording may be a little bit different in a different translation. So this is the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 20 and on. I'm going to read it, and I'd invite you to follow along. This is what Jesus says, so check this out. I pray not only for these, so he's talking about like the people in his immediate vicinity that he's praying for. I pray not only for these, but also for those who might believe in me through their word. Guess who that is? Everyone who started following Jesus after like that moment, okay? So if you're a follower of Jesus, he's praying for you. He says this, look at verse 21. May they be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they be also in us so that the world may believe you sent me. Okay, so what does he pray for? He's praying to God the Father. So Jesus, God the Son, is praying to God the Father. He says, Father, I pray that they would be one. I pray that they would be, okay, I'm going to give you the answer and then I'm going to ask you the question so you can get credit for it. Father, I pray that they would be one. Okay. Why? Why did Jesus pray that his followers would be one? Why did he do that? He says it right there. So that the whole world would believe that you sent me. So if the people who follow Jesus are then somehow that communicates to the whole cosmos that God the Father sent God the Son. To put it another way, if the people who follow Jesus are one, then everyone else looks in and goes, you know, there's something about that Jesus thing. There's something going on there. And do you know why that is, by the way? Because you know what's very difficult for a diverse group of people to be? It's very difficult for them to be Why is that? You guys tell me. Why is it difficult for people who are different than each other, maybe different ages, different ethnicities, different economic status, different political situations? Why is it difficult for people who are different to be one? You tell me. Ego. What else? They're different. Why is it difficult? Fear. What's else? Different perspective. Why else is it difficult? What is it? Yeah, because their genders are different or their ages are different. Why else is it difficult for people who are different to be one? Motive. Why else? Understanding. Do you know that thing that you believe and you think you're right? It's like all the things that you believe, right? Like everything I currently believe, I think I'm right. What? Otherwise, I wouldn't believe them. And you know what? That phenomenon, that thing that happens when you meet someone who believes differently than you, which immediately means, of course, that they are blatantly wrong. Of course they're wrong. Why? Because I am. And if you're wrong and I'm right, we cannot be. Are you so sure about that? You see, if it's true that I need you to be like me for us to stay in relationship together, then we can't be one. But Jesus does this thing where he equalizes. He makes, like grandma used to say, all ground is equal at the foot of the cross. There's an equity to the way of Jesus. There's a way of recognizing that here is the normal pecking order, the normal way that people usually think. I am here, and people who are different than me are usually here, somewhere here. But Jesus shows up and says, yeah, cool, except that way of being in the world leads to warfare, violence, poverty, destruction, despair. And so Jesus shows up and says, you know what? You are not it. Jesus shows up and says, all of y'all have turned from the way of God and gone your own way. You're all walking a broken path some way or the other, even though your brokenness is different, and you're all hating on each other because you're broken differently. You think you're broke better than they broke. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then Jesus does this. He says to everybody, he says, listen, come here. Follow my way. And so Jesus says, I'm it. I am the one. And you ain't it, but I want you to follow me. And so you know who Jesus asked to follow him? Everybody, even the people who you don't like? Yes. And this is one of the powerful things about Jesus. Jesus says, if y'all misfits are one, it will show that I, Jesus, can bring misfits together and do such a powerful work on their heart that they actually level themselves out into recognizing, you know what? We're all children of God. The gospel is, though all of us have turned our backs on God and gone our own way, Jesus calls to us by his grace and says, no, come back to me. And then he pays the price of that rebellion. This is why we sing songs like Amazing Grace. And so Jesus says, so y'all be one. Father, make them one as you and I are one so that the world would know. And this is part of what's sometimes referred to as a priestly function. I know that's kind of weird, that idea of priest. But basically what priests do, their job is to worship, to pray, to invite everyone else to worship and to pray and to see God at work. And also, the job of the priest is to minister to people or to serve people, to make sure people have their needs met, to make sure that people are cared for. And so there's a way in which a priest looks up and invites everybody to look up. And then there's also a way in which priests say, but also let's look to each other's needs. And he invites us to be priests to one another. So to help us get a better idea of this whole priest thing, we're going to take a look at this quick explainer video from the Bible Project. Take a look at this.
The Bible introduces humanity as God's royal priests, ruling with God in Eden, a place place full of life and abundance and God's blessing.
But humanity was deceived by evil and then exiled from Eden. And so humans forfeited their calling as the royal priesthood.
But God promised that one of their descendants would be an even better priest who will defeat evil and intervene on their behalf to restore the blessings of Eden.
This descendant would be a royal priest like Melchizedek that Abraham met in Jerusalem, and also like Moses and the priestly figure he saw on Mount Sinai. This descendant will also be like David and the priest king that David called my Lord in Psalm 110. And all of these figures lead us to Jesus, the ultimate royal priest who suffered and died for a failed humanity so that they could be restored to their original calling as royal priests.
About a month after the resurrection of Jesus, his disciples see him ascend into the skies.
Yeah, this was the fulfillment of Israel's hopes and of the story of Jesus. He was exalted into the heavenly temple of God's presence and installed there as the cosmic royal priest.
Now, Jesus also told his followers to wait for God's presence to come and guide them into the future.
And so during Pentecost, a festival in Jerusalem, God's Spirit comes down on them like they're each mini temples who are filled with God's presence.
Mini temples?
Yeah, just like God took up residence in the tabernacle and later the temple, now God dwells among the followers of Jesus and their bodies are the temple. The Apostle Peter, who was there that day, later put it this way. You all are living stones, built up as a spiritual house. You all are a royal priesthood.
So they are altogether God's temple.
And they're also the priests, reclaiming that lost calling that God gave humanity to represent him and to rule the world on his behalf. The Spirit is restoring the life and blessing of Eden to the people of Jesus.
But these people aren't priests. They're merchants and fishermen, soldiers and slaves, tax collectors and the poor. They work in the world and not in temples.
And yet, they talked and behaved as if they were priests. They believed Jesus was the cosmic royal priest, ruling all of heaven and earth as his temple, and they saw themselves as an extension of Jesus here on earth, that is, the body of the Messiah.
That's a beautiful image, but what does it actually look like?
Well, if you went to the temple in Jerusalem, you would hear the priestly choirs singing poetry that honored God and that told the story of his love. Music was a bridge between heaven and earth.
Also, the followers of Jesus started writing and singing new songs about Jesus as part of their priestly calling.
Right. Priests also surrendered everything over to God through their sacrifices. And so, followers of Jesus started giving themselves their time and their money and energy to serve those in need. And they said, these are the sacrifices that bring pleasure to God.
Priests also intercede on behalf of others through blessings and prayers, advocating for the needs of everyone.
Yeah, this is why the Apostle Paul called on the Christians living in Rome to all together offer their bodies as one single living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice.
Yeah, Jesus offered his life in the ultimate act of love. And so they too were to surrender themselves to each other and to those who needed their help. This is the royal priesthood, Jesus style.
When people imitate Jesus, the royal priest, they become a new humanity, living in a way that reunites heaven and earth.
Exactly. And now you can see how the whole Bible is one unified story about a royal priestly humanity that lost its way.
But then how God promised to raise up a priest who would give his life to restore us.
And then how the stories of Abraham and Moses and David all point forward to a promised priest king.
And how this all led to Jesus, our great high priest, who suffered on our behalf to restore us to our calling.
And so this is why, on the final pages of the Bible, there's a vision of a renewed and reunited heaven and earth with humans serving and ruling as God's royal priests forever.
And so we can see in Jesus' high priestly prayer that he's praying for us to be unified as priests, that we're all priests. We're all pointing to God and looking and serving one another by following our ultimate high priest. And so when the church is not one, like the priests are actually fighting each other and condemning each other, it's the opposite of what Jesus wants. And so even though we're all very different, Jesus prays that we would be one. Even though sometimes that can be difficult, it is a beautiful thing when different comes together as one, just like a burrito. You see, I know Jesus probably had in mind a burrito when he was praying John 17, though they were not popular at the time in Jerusalem. I certainly believe, well, maybe it's conjecture, but it does remind me at least of a burrito, because a burrito is a bunch of different pieces that all become how many burritos? One. And so you've got out of many, one, like the one burrito. And so I want to invite some friends up. Actually, Darren, could you help me? Some of our adventure kids put their names into this bucket on the way in today. And as has been our habit on occasion, we do a little object lesson. And so I'm going to ask, let me see here. Boop, boop. I need three. And so I'm going to ask Harrison. Harrison, where are you at? Come on up, Harrison. And Mercado, is Mercado here? Come on up. Oh, Amy Mercado, sorry, I looked. Yeah, Amy Mercado, come on up. And Ava Hutchison. Where's Ava? Ava, I'm gonna need your help. Is Ava here in the house? No, that's okay, no problem. We're gonna do one more. Serena. Oh, yeah! Okay, now. Let's give them a hand. Come on up, Serena. Now, okay, so you can set that down right there. Now, have you made a burrito before?
No.
No. Have you made a burrito before? No. Have you made a burrito before? No. This is going to be great. Come over here, please. Each of you have in front of you please stand right here. Each of you have in front of you an enormous flour tortilla. What I'm going to ask you to do is take some of these ingredients. So we have some tomato, we have some lettuce, we have some herbs, we have onion and lemon. These are delicious elements to put on a burrito. We have M&M's, Skittles, Snickers. We have Prime energy drink. We have some mints here and some sun-kissed fruit snacks. And so what I want to ask you to do, you're going to have 30 seconds to put together a burrito. So you're going to take the items, you're going to, however you want to construct this burrito, you're going to put it in here, and then you've got to roll up the burrito so I can eat it. So I want you to make Pastor Caleb a mwah, delicious burrito with any of these elements that you can see up here. Is that okay? Sound good?
Yes.
Yes? Sound good?
Yeah.
Yes? Sound good? Okay, so it doesn't sound good to Pastor Caleb, but here we go. So just like the church is made up of a bunch of misfits, out of the many different misfits, we're going to make one delicious priestly burrito. This is called abusing a metaphor. Yeah. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get ready. 3, 2, 1, go! Okay, all right, we got tomatoes, we got parsley, onion, oh boy. Okay, all right, we got Skittles going. All right, you got 10 seconds left. Oh, we got a starburst, I love that. Oh, you gotta roll them up. All right, you got 5 more seconds to roll them up. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5. Now, I have a very sophisticated palate. And so let me see if I can just taste what is in this delicious burrito. You ready? I'm going to go at it from the side. All right, that's the way Jesus did it. So okay, I see what you've done here. So, this is delicious, thank you very much. Now this one, I can feel different bits in here. It smells fresh, but I see so many wrappers on the table. Ready? I know you're proud of this. Okay. Okay. There's a Starburst in there. But it's lemon, so that makes it all fit. Makes all the bits fit.
It was orange.
Oh, it was orange? Okay. See, what we should have done is brought Pastor Caleb a bucket for today. Just need a little something to wash it down. Oh, you give this stuff to kids? That's cool. Okay. Now, this one is well done. Okay, I can see that you've put a lot of thought into this, and we're very thoughtful in the ingredient selection, but I also see many wrappers. Okay, ready? Okay, do you want me just to give me my unfiltered opinion?
Sure.
Okay, ready? See, the onion, the cilantro, and the gummy is really... I'm just so glad I got such a big bite because I was able to bring in all of the flavors at one time. Okay, now, you guys all eat the rest. No? Okay. There's a lot of sugar for Pastor Caleb in the morning. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm like moving the stuff to the side of my mouth so I can keep talking because it's going to take another few minutes to really process all the deliciousness that's going on right now. So I would say that each one of your burritos really, it just had something unique, something special, but I was not really expecting so many different flavors to be mixing together. However, I would have never chosen to mix onion, cilantro, and gummies together. You took a big risk. I think you win. So can we give it up? These are not fresh gummies either. These are the hard ones. You really gotta work on them. Okay, so are you ready for your prize? Okay. Don't get too excited. This is a slightly used, recently expired thing of paste picante sauce, which you can have, or you can have free tacos today. Which one would you prefer?
Free tacos.
Free tacos. Okay, you're going to take the tacos. That's great. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for our adventure kids. You guys can go on down. Can you take the bucket down? Okay, everyone, close your eyes and pray for a second. Okay, you can, amen. So, they did not teach you that in seminary. Just as a burrito is many parts coming together to make one, and just like a good burrito, all of the flavors mix together. And also, one of the things you notice when you eat burritos or other types of food that mix together is that the flavors actually intersect. And they shape one another, and they accentuate one another. One of the cool things about the culinary arts is that culinary artists are able to draw out certain flavors from things by using other elements and other flavors in ways that are often surprising. So as followers of Jesus, Jesus calls us to be one. He prays that we would be one. One of the reasons why is so that our different perspectives, different flavors, if you will actually mix together, flavoring each other and pulling out of each other the things that we can't do just on our own. Have you guys ever heard of singing or like reciting something together? When you do that in a room like this, you get a small sample of one of the ways that being misfits, being one as misfits, actually can sound. Because when your voices raise up into the air, they actually intersect with everybody else's voices, and it creates one voice out of many. In the same way that the burrito is many different ingredients that flavor one another, that comes one burrito, so too when we sing or when we recite a prayer even, all of our different voices intersect and they all become one. We still have our own unique voice, but when we mix them together, it becomes one. And so today, as we conclude our time together, I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to engage in an ancient practice of mixing our voices together in prayer. Now, this may be somewhat familiar to some of you, and maybe somewhat strange for others. We'll put the words up on the screen. But there's this moment in Jesus' life where he invites us to pray a certain way. And this is sometimes referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Now, in my history, there's kind of a rhythm to this, and some of us may have different rhythms, so we'll try to stay on beat with this particular prayer. But I want to invite us to pray together the Lord's Prayer. Now, at the end of this, it is a tradition to add, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever," and we're going to add that even though it's not in the original text. And so as we conclude our time together and remember Jesus' prayer that we would be united as his priests, let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And so, Father, just as our voices are raised up together as one, may we be one so the world may know that you have sent Jesus. It is in your name we pray, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen and amen. See you next time. Enjoy the tacos.